Hello and welcome to Talent Takes Time, conversations with industry professionals who share with us their journeys into the TV world and the lessons they've learned along the way so that you know what to expect. Our guest in this episode is Kelly Cates, who has a career in football presenting spanning over two decades. I've known Kelly for a long time. When I first started at Sky Sports News back in 2006, Kelly was hosting their coverage of the World Cup from Germany while I was back at base. I'll never forget her kindness when I walked onto set for the very first time, a nervous newbie, and she told me in her relaxed tones that I'd be just fine. Her career has gone from strength to strength. She's returned to Sky to front their Premier League games, and she's involved in radio on BBC Five Live. When Kelly first anchored Sky's coverage, the collective compliments felt as if she'd come out of nowhere. But for those of us who've worked with Kelly and have followed her career, we know she's been doing this consistently and regularly on global and domestic channels for years, putting in the hard work and racking up the hours. I start our conversation by picking up on that point and how a career in TV broadcasting started for her. So Talent Takes Time is a lot about journeys and career paths. So I think it's really important to speak about yours because a lot of people obviously see you right now doing Premier League football. And I know that your path has been a long one, convoluted as well. You studied maths at university and then you were given an opportunity at Sky. So talk to me about grabbing that opportunity.
Yeah, and I was at the end of, or towards the end of that degree, and I had no idea what I was going to do with it. I wasn't particularly engaged. And then Sky Sports News was starting up. So it was a brand new channel that was going out 24 hours a day. And everybody said, there's no way you can fill 24 hours a day with sports news. And that was in 1998. So I think they've managed to do that quite successfully in the intervening decades. But it was just came down to London and sort of had an interview. And at that stage, they just screen tested everybody that came through the door. They just needed to populate this channel. And I got a chance doing that. But it was always the sense that it wasn't the start of a career. It was an opportunity that I just took because I thought this will be amazing. This is just going to be so much fun. And like everything, it just came down to timing. So much of the stuff I've done has just been about taking an opportunity when it's there and not thinking about it too much, just going, well, I'm going to do this because it's been offered to me and I'd really like to. Or even sometimes I haven't really wanted to, but I've done it and then it's led to something that I've really, really enjoyed and felt really satisfied by.
This is reassuring for anyone who's struggling with their academic choices. People often ask me, what is the right degree or course to study? But so many of my colleagues studied something completely unrelated to television. As Kelly explains, this wasn't the start of a career. It was an opportunity. And that's where it all begins. Take those opportunities without thinking of the bigger picture. Step by step is how you build a career. I have to ask you about that first screen test because a lot of people say, oh, he's a natural or she's a natural. But I think with presenting, you have to learn how to be a natural on camera because you have to give it that extra whatever it is, 25%. There are so many things people don't realise about what to do with your hands, where to look, obviously different cameras cutting. Can you remember that very first screen test you did?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. It's a learned skill. And I think people get to a certain level of competence of it. And then after that, it just comes down to how somebody sees you and whether they like watching you and whether they think you fit the tone or the whatever it is of that they're trying to do. But that first screen test, I mean, God, I was, you know, trying to read auto cue for the first time. And, you know, obviously reading out loud is not a skill that you learn at 22. It's a skill that you learn when you're 4 or 5. So that's kind of not the, you know, not, it's not the hardest thing in the world reading auto cue. But what the learned skill part of it is trying to make it sound conversational, trying to make it sound interesting. And I think, I mean, the other part of it, with just specifically on that, is that there is a sort of way of speaking that is very television broadcaster or very news broadcaster. And I hear it sometimes on news bulletins, especially on the radio. And I think, God, it's so sing-song and you don't sound like you know what you're saying. You're just following the pattern of the words.
And do you think it's changed a little bit now? Sorry to interrupt, Kelly, but do you think it's changed a little bit now? Because I think when we both started out, you had to be and talk a certain way. And now it's all about authenticity and being yourself. And we hear accents. Sometimes I'm almost a bit taken aback. I'm like, wow, is that person actually on the news or on the radio? because it's almost we are used to that old rule, which is an old rule now.
Yeah, it's definitely moved to a less formal style, and that is the way it is. It might go back. It might go back to that more kind of rigid format. That might happen, and I think there's still room for that in other areas. But I think in sport, I think to be more relaxed and less formal just brings people in more. You feel like you're part of it. You know, especially I think during lockdown, you know, people are sitting at home, can't go to the matches. You want to feel like you're watching it with someone, because we can't go and see the people we would normally watch football with. So I think using that tone, and to be honest, I'm at the stage now where I'm not sure I could go back to the old sort of sit up and back, no, sit up, straight back, shoulders back kind of style of presenting. I just don't think I could do that anymore. But I do think, especially at the moment, I think it's important. As much as, you know, presenting football can be important.
Yeah, it's like you're right. You're almost like someone's friend when you're broadcasting to them. There's so many people who are in lockdown alone. I think it suits your style. You've always been very naturally casual, relaxed. That is your style. Do you think that you almost brought a little bit of that to Sky? Because perhaps before they were a little bit suited and booted.
I think there has just been a change. I don't know whether that sort of change in style has come at the same time as I've started working on the live Premier League games. I don't know if they've just coincided, or if it's a deliberate move to sort of make things that way. And you know, my style has just fit at the right time. I'm not sure which way around that's happened. It's not, you know, it's not something I think about very much. It's not. I don't set out to have a style. I don't set out to be a certain way in front of camera. I know that there is a perception of how I am, but it's not something that I work on. The stuff I work on is more the kind of nuts and bolts of it and the technical aspects.
Kelly has hit the nail on the head with this statement. She's not deliberately trying to come across in a certain style. This is her. And that's what companies want to see, a person that's relatable. Over the years, I've been told that I'm too newsy or not entertainment-y enough, and I've been guilty of trying to tweak my style to fit what companies are looking for. These days, it's much easier to be yourself, and the companies that want you will find you. Kelly has a naturally relaxed manner, so is the perfect person to give her advice on how to stay calm on air.
I do think there's an element of just forcing yourself to appear calm, because I think if you hear your own voice and your own voice sounds steady and in control and calm, then I think that can be quite reassuring. And I think that you never appear as calm or as stressed as you think you do. Everything on television is kind of diluted. I mean, you were talking right at the beginning about, you know, having to dial everything up a bit, because telly kind of swallows a lot of emotion and a lot of energy. So you know, you might come off and think, oh my God, that was so frantic. And then you look back at it and you're like, yeah, not so much. It was just relatively chilled. So I think if people are feeling nervous going on air, I think the only thing you can do is, one, be prepared. And two, sometimes if things are last minute, you can't be as prepared as you'd like. But you will always have something to kind of to fall back on. So just act calm, and if in doubt, smile at someone and say, oh, good question. on that, I remember
exactly.
It was John Sargent, the political correspondent. I remember years ago seeing him on television, like way before I even thought about it as a career, and he said something that stuck with me strangely. And he said that in the olden days, it was when Thatcher was prime minister, and they would still kind of go to the pubs around Westminster and go drinking and sort of compare notes and chat. And then suddenly this story would break and they'd all be half cut and unprepared. And there's no access to the internet. Nobody had any way of working out what was happening. And he said he had three questions. The first of them was a statement, which was, this is a very serious story, Prime Minister. And then he would hope by the first answer that he could work out what the hell was going on. And then he said, if in doubt, you know, there was still a bit of doubt, he would say, how did it get like this? And then the third one was, and what's going to happen now? I still think
perfect advice.
Everything you do can be can be distilled into that. You know, what's happening? How did it get here? Where do we go from this? And it's just something like that in the back of your mind is just quite a useful tool to have, I think.
I will use that for my post-match interviews, because it's really funny, actually, because sometimes a manager will throw something back at you and it completely throws you because you just weren't expecting it. And if you have those three things, then that basically ticks every box, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Love it.
Kate Burley does a great thing as well, where she just goes, oh, or really? Or she just kind of, she just tilts her head and cocks an eyebrow and you think, and suddenly people just give you more on that. So I think knowing that, and that's a confidence thing. I think that's the biggest tell on nerves, is jumping in. I think sometimes if you're calmer and you're more relaxed, you can just stop talking and just let somebody have that room to expand on their answer.
Do you know, it's funny you should say that, but one of the things I'm most sad about in my life is I've never been able to raise an eyebrow. I just can't do it. And once I used an entire train journey to Manchester, looking in the mirror, just trying to do it. Because I think as a presenter, as a news reader, it's a really important facial thing to have. And I just can't get it. I've never been able to do it since I was a kid. So enough about my lack of eyebrow raising skills, but any tips will be greatly received. Sound practical advice from Kelly. More of that to come.
Hi, I'm Gary Hayes and I produce Tanner Takes Time with Alison. I'm just interrupting this episode with an opportunity for any listeners currently looking to break into the media. Now, if you're enjoying this series, you might be interested in some of Alison's free tips. Alongside the Football Writers Association, the FWA, Alison's put together advice and steps to pursue a career in sports media so that you know where to start. Now, if you want to pick up this free guide, just visit her website, alisonbender.com. She has 20 plus years in the media as a producer, journalist, reporter, and a presenter, so has some great advice to give. And she's sharing all of this for free. So if you're serious about your career, you should get this guide now. A reminder of the web address, it's alisonbender.com. It contains everything you need to get yourself going. So good luck, and now let's get back into the episode.
Welcome back to Talent Takes Time, where we've been hearing Kelly Kate's top tips for presenting. Now we get into the brutal truths of this industry. I've been doing this throughout the series, and it's not to put people off for the sake of it, but it's important to know what you're getting into.
It is a tricky industry to get to grips with. It is very much in its own world. But I do love it. Like, I do genuinely enjoy my job. I like going into work. I look forward to it. And I like the people I work with. And that's a huge thing. I think the hardest thing is that you have to accept that your success is always in someone else's hands. No matter how hard you work, no matter what you put into it, it always comes down to someone else's perception. There's a brilliant... Did you ever listen to the Guilty Feminist podcast?
No.
It's a really good listen, and they have a section on it called I'm a Feminist But. So it's things like, you know, I'm a feminist but I would never answer the door without brushing my hair, or I'm a feminist but I always feel more confident when I wear lipstick, or whatever it is, you know. And one of them, it was the woman who does the Lipstick Queen brand, Poppy something, I can't remember her name. Yeah, and she was on, and she said, I am a feminist, but my entire success has been built on pandering to male egos. And I thought, well, that's working in men's football. Yeah. That is your job. You're constantly, you know, you're managing up. That is your job. You're never the, you know, I think you have to, I know Rebecca talked about this, about parking your ego, but in a slightly different sense. But you have to accept you're never the reason people tune in to watch. They tune in to watch the game first, and then they tune in to watch the pundits. All you're there for is to hold it together. So you have to have a sense of self about that, and to say, I don't care about that, but I still have to kind of do my job well for myself. And the other thing is, you have to just kind of let go of the fact that you cannot control how people see you. You can't do that. You have to just... It's not an easy thing to accept, but you kind of have to if you're in this industry.
It's one of the hardest things to accept in this industry. But as Kelly just explained, you can't control people's perceptions of you. While we're talking about podcasts we love, I have to talk about the Now Laid to Rest, The High Low with Pandora Sykes and Dolly Alderton. And in particular, the episode where they discuss just this. I remember listening to it while tidying my room and just stopping in my tracks and playing it back again. people's perceptions of you, it's the only thing you can't control, said Dolly, and it stayed with me. Our close friends know all elements of our personality and know the real you, but there are viewers who think they know you too and will make a judgment on what they think you are, and you have no control over that. That is something you will face, so you do have to accept it. I know you've spoken about this on Gabby's podcast, which I really enjoyed, about growing old gracefully on camera. And it's a funny one. I'm not saying there aren't a lot of older women in British media, because there are some, but certainly not as much. And when I say older women, I mean, I'm talking about over 40s, let's say. And it seems to be certainly better in the States. I've done a bit of time at ESPN. But do you feel, I know you don't overthink these things, but how important do you think it is for you to be seen on screen and for you to be showing women that they can continue post 40s, which is really quite young?
Well, I only know how important it is for me to see women my age and older doing a similar job, and to think, right, well, I've still got time. I still have that much of my career ahead of me. What we don't know at the moment is what happens sort of post 50, because there's quite a few of us in our 40s. Post 50, not so much. I mean, you're maybe looking at Sue Barker, I think, and that, you know, as an anomaly really in that. There will be other women, and I'll feel terrible after this for not mentioning them. But it is past 50, I think, probably uncharted territory. Those of us in our 40s are kind of going through this stage together. And I do think about it. I do, you know, feel that my career in radio is probably going to have more longevity than my career in television. I just have taken that as a, I don't know, I've just kind of absorbed that. And you're right, I shouldn't accept it as normal, but I think I have done. But what I don't want to be is one of those people who come out and rail against change and want to block the pathway for young people coming up, because I was that person who wanted to have opportunities and who wanted to be given their chance to do the job. So there is change. You know, I don't, while I still want to work and I still want to have a long career, I don't want to be the person who stops young people and who sits there and, you know, has a massive rant on social media about how they're being sidelined, because we've all been the other person in that situation. So you have to kind of, you know, you have to kind of leave doors open for people.
I love that take, because I too was that person. I was given opportunity at a young age, and so it's not fair of me to deny that opportunity to those coming through. At the same time, it's okay to want a future after you've given so much to a career. These two things can coexist, and I hope companies address this balance and make room for everyone. It's sad to hear Kelly's acceptance that radio provides the best longevity, but I felt the same way when I entered radio myself. On the positive side, radio allows your experience to shine. Being able to reflect on anecdotes and have an opinion, it was something that hadn't been afforded to me on television in quite the same way, and I do enjoy the credibility. One topic I speak a lot about on Talent Takes Time is pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. Over the years, it's the scariest moments that have allowed me to blossom the most, and so I always tell people to try not to be afraid of them. Kelly has a similar example.
Yeah, I think the first one was within Sky Sports News when Liverpool won the Champions League in 2005, and that was the biggest. I'd done other little bits and pieces in the meantime of different programmes. But I literally got off an aeroplane from Istanbul, had a quick shower at my brother's flat, drove to St. George's Hall in Liverpool, and just stood on a balcony with thousands of people behind me. In the end, there were hundreds of thousands of people in Liverpool. And the link went down from the reporter who was on the top of the bus, and I couldn't really hear properly what was going on in the studio and when people were talking to me. And then I looked down and people, they're in this big crowd and people sort of shouting, and somebody shouted my name and I wasn't really sort of paying attention. I turned around and it was my friend from school, Rachel. And she was right there, front and centre of 400,000 people. Right. I was like, oh my God. So that was really lovely. Wow. But that was a day where Alan Myers, who you know, was there, and he was producing the whole thing, and he would just like throw guests at me, and I don't know, there weren't any real VTs, there wasn't any, that was about 10 hours, maybe not, maybe 8 hours of just chatting. And then he'd throw guests in. He'd go, this is Billy. He's seven. He was allowed to stay up late for the game last night. There you go. Here's the mayor of Liverpool. Here's the this. And I'd go, okay. But it was, I came off air and it was brilliant. It was such a great feeling of, I mean, eventually, probably when the dust all settled on it, but it did feel that I was like, oh, I can do that. I can go on and everything can go wrong. And I can be completely, you couldn't prepare for that because nobody knew what it was going to be. I was meant to be doing like 5 minute inserts every hour. And I ended up like, they were just like, we'll just come back to you. Okay.
Yeah. Bye. But that's emotionally exhausting. I know those days, and you're almost filled with this incredible elation, but absolute exhaustion as well.
Yeah.
So just finally, I always ask my guests, every single one of my guests, just to give their top tip or advice that they live by, anything that you want someone to take away from this.
I think, but it's only ever the same thing, whatever you do, whatever your job is, work hard, be prepared, turn up on time, be a decent person to work with, but not a pushover. And it's just, I think it's just a question, it's something for life, really. Just work hard and be decent. And I think in a business as small as sports television, your reputation as a person will get you places because everybody remembers the decent people and they remember the assholes.
I'm so pleased Kelly ended on this point. This industry is minute. I once worked with a runner who used to make me tea, and years later he became a producer and called me to offer me work. If someone is below you on the ladder, it won't necessarily always be that way. Treat everyone with respect. It's basic manners, right? The same goes if a contract ends or you leave a role. Leave graciously. You will probably be back there one day. That's it from me on the 3 T's Talent Takes Time. I'm so pleased I had the opportunity to sit down with Kelly, who is the perfect example of how a career is not built in a day. Thanks for listening to this episode of Talent Takes Time. The series is written and presented by me, Alison Bender. Gary Hayes produces the podcast with me, and our consultant producers are Neil Pacchietto and Nick Lapworth. Talent Takes Time is part of the Highway 61 network. For more podcasts like this, head over to highway61.media. That's HWY61.media, where you can listen to narrative series across all sports. And remember, if you want some free advice from me and to download my free ebook with tips on getting into the industry, everything is available on my website, alisonbender.com. And make sure you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You'll find me at alibender.tv.